chapter 6, where I mentioned last time that we would be in the remedy for sin, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, as you're turning there, the remedy for sin, what's the number one remedy for sin? Anybody have an idea? The Lord Jesus Christ. The number one remedy of sin, the cross and the resurrection. So we'll look at Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us... so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Drop down a little further and pick up in verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So first of all, we have the first remedy of sin is Jesus Christ. The next we've got to go on to is confession. So confession is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? 1 John 1:9. We know that. If we don't know that by now, I've quoted that many, many times from this pulpit, because it's a vital part of our faith, is we have to know that we have to confess our sins. It's amazing how many people don't think they need to confess their sins. They think that God's okay with the fact that we just continue sinning. Well, what did we already read? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We shouldn't want to. In fact, we should all be of the same mindset that we already sin more than we want to. So why should we sin all the more? Right? Anybody in here not sin? Ever? Not sin since you got saved? See, I'm not seeing any hands. Why? Because we know. We know we're sinners. I like the fact that just a sinner saved by grace, right? We're still sinners, you know. I have to tell you, my initial thought with the water issue was, really, right now? I need this right now? And then I had to repent and say, God, you know, you already knew this was going to happen. You've already know the outcome of this whole thing. And then I went to my office as I was waiting for people, and I thought, you know what? God knows our need. He knows what he's doing. I'll just let it go. And then I started dealing with insurance people. And it was like, and I started getting frustrated again. And my wife said, we just need to pray. And we did, because I was getting frustrated. People, I have a tendency to believe that if you're getting paid to do something, do it. I shouldn't babysit you. Do your job, right? And let me know what I have to do in the process. And so it's just frustrating. But God knows. When we get frustrated like that, we need to confess our sin. When people, again, I'll go back to the driving scenario. When people irritate us on the road, what do we need to do? Not tell them how dumb they are. Not tell them that, you know, one of my favorite lines lately is, if you can't drive it, park it. But is that being nice? No. I can't help it they can't drive, right? but it's one of those things, you know? We got to not, we need to confess our sin when it happens. Just immediately when the Holy Spirit convicts us, just confess it and be done with it. And so confession. And the fullness of the Spirit. We need to be full of the Spirit of God, right? If we are full of the Spirit of God, how much time are we going to have on our hands to go doing all the sinning that we want, that we shouldn't be doing? If we're filled with the fullness of the Spirit, we're going to be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and therefore we're going to want to do the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. It's going to change how we look at things. And there's going to be good that comes out of this mess in the basement. I know there is. One, I think we're going to be downsizing some junk that's been around here for a long time that we're not using. And so it's just, you know, I figure once it's out the door, why bring it back in if we don't need it, right? But it's just one of those things. Good can come out of it. And so, in fact, Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good. Them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, we know. So he's going to use it for good. But the fullness of the Spirit is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, it's easy to tell people you're a Christian, but are we living it? Are we walking in the Spirit? I don't think we should have to tell people. I think that they should be able to know that we belong to Christ by the way we act, by the way we talk, by the places we go and the places we don't go. And so people should be able to see and hear and know that we're a Christian. We shouldn't have to convince them. I've had too many times, especially since I've been born again and walking with the Lord after walking away for a while, coming back, I've had many people try to convince me they're a Christian, and I'm trying to figure out, are they trying to convince me or are they trying to convince themselves? If you have to spend all your time trying to convince somebody you're a Christian, then you're obviously not living it, because they should see it. They should hear it. They should know by where you go, where you don't go, what you do, what you don't do, what you say and what you don't say. All those things should be evidence of who you belong to. And so we should be able to do that. Then the course of sin. When a believer continues in sin, the following three-step process begins, although it may be stopped by repentance at any point. First of all, conviction. If you're a child of God, you sin, conviction takes place. The Holy Spirit is going to convict of sin. The Bible says that's what he does. And John 16:8 says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And John 8:9 says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. This was the woman that caught in adultery, right? That story. They all left when they were convicted, right? because who among them had no sin, right? Cast the first stone. Who could do that? They'd be a hypocrite if they said they had no sin, right? We would be a hypocrite if we say we have no sin. Then chastening, the part we like, right? Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. It's Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. We have to understand that chastening is not fun. And I don't care if you're the one giving it or the one receiving it. It's not fun. I didn't like having to correct my children. I would have liked to just have perfect angels, right? I would not have to correct them. But I finally understood as a parent what my mother used to say when this is going to hurt me worse than it is you. And I'm thinking, I'm the one getting the spanking. What do you mean it's going to hurt you? And then when you're the parent, you realize that it's for their own good, but you don't take joy in it. I mean, you don't get any joy out of it. It's as far as I was concerned, it wasn't something I wanted to do. But it was something that had to be done. Then number three, the calling home of the believer. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And last, 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. We need to be careful because there is a sin unto death, and we need to not be getting involved in those things. We also need to be concerned one for another. If we see a brother or sister involved in sin, in love, we should bring it to their attention so they can get that corrected. It's amazing how many times they blatantly tell you that they're doing something sinful, and then you call them out for it, and then they automatically say, well, you're just judgmental. You're the one that told me about the sin. If you don't want me to know about it, don't tell me, right? But if you tell me about it, I have to tell you what the Word of God says. You need to depart from it. You need to get right with God. And if you don't like that, well, then don't tell me about your sin. Right? Because I'm not going to tell you, your sin is okay. Just continue on in it and everything will be fine. I'm not going to say that because it's not true. We need to depart from sin. We need to do that. And frankly, I'm looking forward to going home. I just don't think we should rush it. I think it should be when we're supposed to go. So we need to be careful. Excuse me. All right, we're going to end there because that was longer than our normal time frame, but with the other stuff going on, it's